So Apple just raised the prices across the board. MacBooks, iPhone, Vision Pro, HomePod, all of it. Tim Cook says it's unavoidable, and because component costs have never risen this fast, and they can't shield you from it anymore. But here's the twist. Apple is also on track for a record market share in 2026. More expensive, more popular, somehow both. And on the other side of the world, China just reclaimed the title of fastest supercomputer on the planet. First time since 2017. Built with domestic chips, no US hardware required. This is the Tech Hangout. Let's get into it. And with that, I'm going to introduce my awesome panel for today. And I'm going to start with the man with the always cool polo shirts. Probably roasting, because I think the entire world is right now roasting. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm good, Patrice. I'm good. It's not too bad here today. It's looking like it's going to be a little bit more interesting over the weekend. But for today, we have some cloud cover, which is probably
that's good.
Shielding us a little bit. But yeah. Other than that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want, right? It's like a little bit cloud cover, a little bit of wind, and then it's nice and relaxed.
Yeah, somewhere. At least I'm not in Paris.
Well, or in Vienna. It's like a freaking convection oven here. Speaking of cooking, Marty, I know you're a great chef. So how are you doing? Doing any cooking this week, or you're like, no heat, just stay away from it?
You know, I did some cooking last week for a couple of my wife's friends, and I had a little left over, and so I had it at home. I made some ice cream, and I wound up tasting it like a day later. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised why I hadn't heard from their friends, "Hey, this is great, blah, 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 blah." I really screwed it up.
No.
The ice cream was just too creamy. You couldn't get it out of your mouth. And mm-hmm. I made Italian beef. And I had a bunch of it that night and got really bad indigestion. So I'm surprised I haven't heard back from these two guys that we brought the meals over to. So, I'm avoiding cooking for a little bit.
Yeah, and you may not ever again.
Yeah.
I just went wild with the ice cream recipe and forgot to put in enough milk. And it was just like drinking cream.
Hmm.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, been there. Yeah, it's rough. I don't know. Oh, speaking of dairy and cream, I don't know. Going to Ben. Transition to Ben. Hi, Ben. How are you doing? I don't know.
My God, just, Patrice.
Just off the rails already.
I'll say this once and only once. Just because I'm from Iowa does not mean I'm a farmer.
That is true. That is really true. How are you doing?
But it's always great to be back on the Tech Hangout.
It definitely is, yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun. So, let's jump into our feed for this week. We have a lot of interesting stories. I think we should get the first two Apple stories out of the way. And start with Ben's Ragnarok Part 2 story, because as we just talked about in the opener, Apple raised prices.
Yes. Last week we were wondering exactly when they would raise prices and by how much. And Apple obliged us by answering those questions fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, everything that is not an iPhone has gone up in price. Some of them quite significantly. Lower end devices like the iPad, iPad Air, and Marty's beloved Neo have gone up about $100. The mid-tier devices like the MacBook Air, the iPad Pro, that type of stuff, have gone up about $200.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Studio, you already need to sell kidney for. So it's the price of doing business. You know, Marty's other show, the Vision Pro, has gone up $200.
6%.
Yes.
But which is quite low given like all the other devices and how much they went up, right?
Yeah.
And any price headway Apple has made on the Apple TV over the last 10 years was just completely wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
It's back up to $199 and $250.
That's the one I couldn't figure out. They made no technical changes in the device. Mm-hmm. They know what they have produced, and the price hike on that was ridiculous in terms of it. Vision Pro, no one's going to cry to paying an extra $200 for a Vision Pro. The most disappointing for me was the MacBook Neo, which just came out. It would have been nice if they would have held the line on that.
Mm-hmm.
But a $100 increase on a $600 device or a $500 device, that's going to put 20%. It's going to put it into, take it out of its competitive market, I think. It's going to be hard sell. However, some of the suppliers like Amazon still have, and, you know, look at Best Buys or whatever, online suppliers still have it listed at the price. So act while you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, Apple made a choice raising prices during Prime Days.
They telegraphed this for quite a while. They started talking about it on the earnings report. And then 2 weeks ago, Tim said, oh, we're going to have to raise prices. Mm-hmm. So I am not surprised. And also, but I think the biggest surprise for me was the impact it had on the stock. Now, we'll see what happens in a couple of days. But it was quite a shift in stock. I don't know, what was it, like a $30 drop or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, it seems to be like no matter what Apple announces, like every earnings call, numbers go down. Every keynote, numbers go down. Like, it, I don't know what people are expecting. In this case, I'm like, my expectation was about $100 to $200. They did exceed that for some devices, but I think overall, more or less, that's in line. So I don't know what people are expecting and why they're disappointed now.
Yeah, and with some of these devices, it's definitely spreading that cost increase out across the line.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. They're not going to be selling too many of the third generation 4K Apple TVs. No. I would not be surprised if they're not even producing it anymore. But if you do it now, they expect a price when the next generation models come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody got so upset over this. I mean, I was reading all the headlines yesterday, listening to some podcasts this morning, and, you know, it kind of amazes me how many of these people do not understand just basic business. That, you know, Apple protects its margins. Apple is a company that enjoys an amazing loyalty factor,
but
people say, "Oh, you're an Apple fan." Yeah, I'm an Apple fan, but not to the point of distraction, not to the point of buying products that I don't like, don't use, don't fit me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I look at the value of anything I buy, and, you know, and I go with the winner. And that's the thing. Apple's a winner in that category in so many ways. I don't know a lot of people who have left the Apple ecosystem. They come in. No. They might tap out for a phone, you know, for a year or two. But they seem to always kind of come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Now, as we record this, the stock is back up a little over 4 points mm-hmm. from yesterday's big drop. I'm like Marty, you know, I think it's going to come over time, but why is everybody surprised that Apple raised prices yeah. when so many other companies are raising prices? Nobody's batting an eye. They gripe about going to a restaurant and the prices are up. They gripe mm-hmm. about going to the pump and the prices are up.
Yeah.
And I guess it's just the nature of things, but there was not as much griping and a lot of surprise here, which is just beyond my understanding.
I mean, part of the reason is what people call the Apple tax. Apple usually does not change prices. I mean, they might change a price if they're introducing a new model. They're like, okay, the next year's model, I don't know, they have, either they just increase it or sometimes, oh, this is now the super pro model and that one is a little bit more expensive. Or they drop, like they did, I think last year, they dropped the lower storage configuration simply. And then yes, the base price is a little bit higher, but you also get more for it. Apple usually is very, very good at hedging any kind of headwinds, like for what they call it, foreign exchange, RAM price fluctuations, all of that. They're very good at it. So I think part of that is even Apple cannot like outrun the market. At some point, that's going to come back. And that's the point. And I think that, yes, that is a disappointment in a way because Apple so rarely does it. But on the other hand, Tim Cook said it a week ago, exactly a week ago. And now it happened. But all of a sudden, now it's a big problem. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, so, and do you know?
Yeah, my question is this the new normal then? I mean, the prices that we're looking at now.
For now.
When the new models roll out, the M5 studios and things like that, yeah. is this the new normal for the M5s?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be, we're going to get another $200 addition to it?
It's going to depend on what the market is going to be. First of all, what the yeah. market bears, but more importantly, yeah. what the component products, component prices are. You know, because we're not seeing any slowdown in the RAM prices and demand for RAM. And yeah. so there's no reason that, don't forget, it was just a couple of years ago that we were all talking about how cheap storage was.
Yeah.
You know, buy storage. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. you know, guess what? Yeah. That's what happens when you get a glut mm-hmm. and the prices go down, the demand goes down. So now we have the exact reverse and everybody's blaming AI, and that may be very much be the case. But
yeah.
whatever it is, it's real. I mean, we at the end of Dave's show last night, we priced out a Western Digital NVMe SSD for mm-hmm. 8 terabytes at like $1,400, which yep. is kind of crazy, mm-hmm. you know, compared to what yeah. we're used to paying.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah. And do you want to know who also raised prices this week? Microsoft on the Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple was able to weather this a little bit more because of their very skillful procurement strategies. But it got to a point where even they had to raise prices.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, I'm going to go to PC because Apple raised prices. The PC makers raise prices first.
Yeah. I mean, have a look at...
Oh, go ahead, Petri, sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying, have a look at graphic cards prices right now. Like, I'm looking yeah. because I kind of want to, like, upgrade my home lab and run some AI stuff. And, like, it's ridiculous what you get charged for a somewhat decent graphic cards for that. Like, yeah, everything is super expensive.
Good luck finding anything of CUDA cores.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Ben, sort of to your point, and I don't have a link for it, sorry, because I saw it in several places this morning. Apparently, Italy is now investigating Microsoft for their 365 price increases for AI that really nobody wanted. They didn't tell anybody about it. They just put it in and then started charging more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now I'm a notorious anti-Microsoft person, but that's sort of the way that restaurants are doing it. You know, they're not announcing, oh, we have a 25% price increase in our prices today or starting today. They just reprint the menus. People go in and say, oh, okay, and then place the order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should probably move on to the next article, which is, I think, Chuck. No, Marty, yours. Because on one hand, Apple raised prices. On the other hand, Apple is set to reach like a really like massive record market share across like some product categories.
Different devices, yeah. I've got the habit now of this show that I better cough up an article that we can talk about.
Yeah.
And so I started going through news feeds yesterday and saw this one. And I thought, in the midst of all of this Apple tax and how we're paying more for these products, this article comes out from 9to5 and it talks about market share projections by category. iPads are up from 35% of that market share in 2025 to 39% mm-hmm. in 2026. The iPhone's up 2 percentage points to 25%, and the Mac is up 3 points to 12%, notably given the overall PC market's declining to 11%. So it's, I needed a little, you know, good news.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but in the article they say, yeah, we're publishing this the same day that Apple raised all their prices. You know, so they acknowledge that we're not being blind to the fact that this happens. But this was done by Counterpoint Research and reported by 9to5 Mac. And you know, there's some predictions in it. iPhone shipments are expected to remain flat in 2026, while most competing OEMs will see double-digit declines. So that's pretty interesting. And there's just some good points in the article to take a look at. iPhone 18 Pro series is expected to outperform the iPhone 17 Pro. And the iPhone 17 is likely to continue strong sales in the absence of iPhone 18 during 2026. So all of these are good. So just a nice, shiny, happy article.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I'm going to be honest. I don't want Apple to be like a monopoly. I think some competition, even for Apple, is a good thing. I also like to have different options and different views on things and different ideas and all of that in the market. Like, it's not a one size fits all solution, but Apple has really good solutions and really good options that people really want, and I think this reflects it, right? A lot of schools are switching from Chromebooks to MacBook Neos, and we haven't heard anything where the Apple actually raised the prices for education. It might be that they kept them more or less the same. We'll see. Right. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely a good thing. And Patrice, sort of to what you did in the open too, you know, more expensive. Is this a case of more expensive but worth it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think so. I mean, there's nothing, these price increases are not going to send me to running over to buy a PC or anything else. You know, it might delay some purchases, no question about that.
Yes.
And, you know, and I guess there are other people that maybe don't really understand the difference. And I think that's the problem here, is you've got to understand the difference between the two platforms from a security standpoint, from an ease of use standpoint, you know, from the stability standpoint.
Yeah.
And yet people still go out and buy PCs.
I just checked the education store, particularly with the Neos, and the Neos are up $100.
Okay.
So the education store.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully folks who are interested in education went ahead and placed their orders, which they probably did. at this point, schools and such.
Yeah, I would guess so. I mean, it's been a while.
The other thing here is that Apple, through continuity, offers something that nobody else does. You can start something on your Mac, go to your if you need something done that's better on your iPad, you can then switch over to the iPad or the iPhone. You don't get that with any other platform. And if you get one, it makes it a lot, it makes a lot more sense to get, you know, the other platforms.
Speaking of platforms, let's move on to Chuck's story, because that's also interesting, because Instagram has a new feature that you want to talk about.
Yeah, they're saying that you're going to you can add captions to individual slides.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at this, and it's my first thought was why, and then I thought, okay, is this in response to some of the TikTok stuff that I'm not, I fully confess, I am not familiar with, because every time I encounter TikTok, it just looks like, it looks fluffy. You know, it doesn't look like, it's almost like doom scrolling on steroids.
Well, and that's probably is Instagram. So the difference between TikTok and Instagram these days is different UI.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and you know, there are all the ownership questions and security questions, but we'll put those off to the side for a second.
Yes.
But, you know, I wanted to kind of ask you all, I mean, is this a big deal? Or is this just a little more feature creep that they're trying to compete with TikTok? And because I don't see this as particularly innovative, but I'm kind of here to ask the question more than advocate for it. It's just, okay, here's one more capability, which is almost never a bad thing, but should I care?
Wait, honestly, it kind of adds more feature parity with Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think Chuck, you nailed it. It's feature creep to be more in line with the other platforms. That's literally all it is. I mean, not that I'm the biggest authority on this, because I try to stay away from Instagram mostly, but these days at least. But I don't see it as being super important. Like, I mean, sure, some people will use it, might be helpful, but it's not something, oh wow, this is new and crazy and of that.
Yeah, I got an Instagram account like in 2000, whenever they first came about, and because that's what people were doing. And I have a 5K, a picture of the 5K that I ran in, so you can tell it was, you know, before the beginning of time.
Yesterday.
That I had an Instagram account. And I go to it, and that pretty much is my only contribution to my Instagram account was that picture I took back years and years ago. This is not my jam. You know, this is not where I'm going to spend my time. I do agree the idea that if I'm a user and I'm really into it, I think it's cool that I can start putting my captions in it. And it brings it up with other things. I mean, I use Opus Clip for shorts for video cast that we use, and there's all sorts of customization that you can even set up so AI Slop will do it for you. but that's what people want. They want to have both the you know, it's like they want their book read to them with the words coming across the bottom, you know?
Interesting. No, but I mean, captions in general are an important feature, right? Because it gives, like, makes things more accessible for anybody. So I totally get that. And a lot of videos, like, have captions simply baked in. So, like I said, it's getting them on par, but it's not something where everybody says, wow, this is now so much better and cooler and whatever. No, it's just, okay, can do that. So,
Yeah, Ben, thank you, because I didn't even think about I don't think about Facebook other than just a distribution point. I just don't spend any time there, and so maybe that makes sense. What I do think is really interesting about Instagram, though, is that when Twitter/X started having all the problems, you know, people were jumping off and canceling their accounts. There still are a few key, and maybe it's because they were there first, but it seems like the majority of companies keep an X account, they keep a Facebook account, they keep an Instagram account. After those three, it falls off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that those are the places. Not now, some people left X, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Some people include, you know, other places. But those seem to be the big three that the majority of companies that want to have a social presence, and possibly LinkedIn. LinkedIn has gotten a lot more. So, but LinkedIn's a different animal. I think it's really interesting. And maybe Instagram is smart in trying to keep up with the Joneses and keep going, because they have that position in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. Speaking of keeping up with the Joneses, China is keeping up in the supercomputer race, at least when it comes to, compute. There's a new supercomputer named Lionshine that just won the top spot on the official, the one that everybody looks at, the top 500 list. That's a separate organization. El Capitan, which was a supercomputer from the US, has been basically dethroned, at least for the time being, by a Chinese computer or Chinese supercomputer. The interesting thing is, there's no US chip design, or well, at least not officially, in there. It's all Chinese designed. So I think China wants to tell the world, hey, all your export controls and all of that, it's not really doing anything. We can also innovate on our own or build our own stuff. Maybe last thing to note here is it's not the top computer when it comes to AI workloads. I think it's just in the top four or something. So if you look at AI computers, and that's what most people look at right now, there's better still, but those supercomputers have a lot of value because you can calculate a lot of complex and interesting models, like weather modeling and so on, that on those computers. So China having this top spot definitely shows they can do it. Ben, any thoughts on that?
I mean, this is kind of how China does things.
True.
They have been known for reverse engineering a lot of stuff. However, once they get that figured out,
mm-hmm.
they have been quickly iterating and moving forward from their own knowledge.
Yes.
I mean, we're at the point where we haven't already gotten there, we're quickly getting to the point where China may not need any kind of Western assistance
mm-hmm.
to be, they definitely don't need it when it comes to fabs, where China doesn't have any kind of Western assistance needed.
Yeah. I mean, there's still restrictions they work around, right? But as I always say, any kind of restriction like that also has the flip side of motivating the people that are affected by it to figure out ways around it or to innovate, simply because they're like, okay, we can't get the latest 3-nanometer process from the US because that's restricted, but okay, well, let's just figure it out ourselves. I mean, we know it's possible, so let's see. Yes, that's not so easy, not saying this is, they're just doing it, but it motivates people to find ways, and find sometimes very creative ways. I mean, as we saw with DeepSeek, a year ago or something. They find sometimes surprising creative ideas. By the way, I also saw the previous, El Capitan, the previous record holder at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, is actually used by the US government to develop and maintain its nuclear weapons stockpiles. So, I mean, yes. That shows you what supercomputers can do, right? And that also in the hands of China now.
Yeah. My brain is now picturing a Bondi Blue Power Mac G3 mm-hmm. handling all our nuclear weapons.
Okay. I hope not.
Yeah, I, this is one. I mean, China clearly has put a lot of pressure behind their people to
yes.
get into this race and be and of course it's state sanctioned, and that gives it some decided advantages. But I'm not sure. Also, there aren't some disadvantages there. So I look at this as yeah. this is one of those things. Okay, you know, it's everybody wants to be number one, and that's yes. great. And it's going to go back and forth, I'm sure. We don't know what else is being developed where in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I always, when you see these things come up, and especially when it's China, you know, it feels a little bit like clickbait.
Oh, not it
that
is.
You shouldn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
But it's still clickbait.
Yeah. No, I mean, China definitely wants to be recognized on the world stage. And I think here in the article, there's even a quote from the Edison Snell from Intersect 360 research, who said he's not surprised it's the number one system. What I'm surprised by is that they submitted it and want recognition for it. And the reason for it is they pulled out of that ranking in 2023. So China craves recognition on the world stage. And I think that's probably the only reason why they're submitting it, because they could just like create one and run it and do their thing with it and not talk about it. Or only talk about it in China.
And Patrice, I think you bring up a good point, because let's face it, China has a bit of an image problem when it comes to, you know, what's the right word? Appropriating. There we go. Yes. Appropriating technology.
Yes.
you know, and so, well, okay. Tomato, tomato. You know, so
liberating.
I'm with you. Liberating. Yes. Yeah, there we go. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that, you know, there is a desire to get some credibility instead of just being seen as the people that take somebody else's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah. Couple of months. I mean, this only comes out twice a year, so probably at least 6 months. But yeah, as you said, like there's of course other computers in the making, and like this is going to go back and forth between probably a couple players. Speaking of going back and forth, I think we should move on to our next segment, because it is time for the hang jury. And this week we're asking a question that every parent or every former teenager will have a strong opinion on, and hopefully maybe you as well. So earlier this month, the UK government announced it's banning social media for anyone under 16. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, X, all of it gone. By spring next year, and not immediately. They even are talking about age-gating VPNs to stop kids from just working around it, and good luck with that. Now on the surface, that does sound straightforward, protecting kids, job done. But here's the thing. Australia did exactly this 6 months ago, and a study published this week found that 4 in 5 Australians under 16 are still on social media anyway. So the question isn't really whether we want to protect kids online. Everybody does. The question is whether this actually works. Because if it doesn't, what you're left with is a national age verification system, a surveillance infrastructure, and teenagers who just migrated somewhere darker and less regulated. So the question is the UK making a bold, necessary move to protect the generation, or just is this unenforceable political theater that causes more problems than it solves? That's your hang jury. Let's get into that. And Chuck. Marty, you go.
Yeah.
Start. Go.
Go, Mark. Go, Marty.
I'll have more to say, because you guys will stimulate my anger.
Good.
But one thing I do know is that teenagers really like to be controlled.
Really? Totally.
It has worked through history in all sorts of ways, you know. And if you take their phones away, you take their social media access away, they will find another way to rebel. And so this, for me, feels like a nanny state.
Yes.
And it abdicates the responsibility of parents to do their work, to communicate with their kids, mm-hmm. to have a relationship, that they know what they're involved in, to find out, to share. All of that stuff is, whoa, they're doing dangerous stuff. Please, nanny state, take care of us. Mm-hmm. And these are really bad attempts at doing it. Because, you know, when I was a teenager and they told us that we couldn't throw paper planes out the windows in the school, those nice little yep. glass squares. Occasionally we'd go over there and put our elbow into it and mm-hmm. pop one of those things out. So mm-hmm. teenagers will be teenagers and will test these limits. And if they can't get through these limits, they'll find other ways
yes.
to create an identity.
Never underestimate the, I would say, patience and attention and maybe criminal energy to some extent of a teenager wanting to get around some sort of restriction or just rebelling yeah. against something they're not supposed to do.
And I'm not, parenting is harder and harder, but it yes. also seems like we've got parents now who are, who were teenagers once and were yeah. adults yes. and they never quite figured it out from their own families how to mm-hmm. do this. And now they have their own families and they're still trying to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
So you can't pass on what you don't got. And so the attraction of having yeah. the government mm-hmm. take over this role for you is great. There's a whole other thing that I feel about how Apple is doing this, which is different, but we'll talk about UK and Australia.
Chuck, you wanted to say something earlier.
Yeah, you know, so let's do a little scoreboard here. So how successful have we been in keeping teenagers anywhere in the world from smoking, from using drugs, from using alcohol to excess? You know, I could go on and on and on mm-hmm. and get a little bit less savory. I recognize the need to try to protect kids from things, but at the same time, this just doesn't seem to be the way to do it, because we haven't been successful. I mean, it's clear that everything I just mentioned is seriously detrimental to your health. You know, yeah. is objectively, demonstrably detrimental, yeah. and social media is far from being that demonstrably. Yeah. demonstrably evident. And so the chances of you convincing a kid this is not a good idea. And I love Patrice, the idea, oh yeah, we're going to age gate VPNs. That's yeah. great. Oh yeah. So all we're going to do is just force the kids to, you know, become more technically savvy.
Yes.
Or to I think what Marty said, you know, maybe go somewhere darker and deeper that is not in the light of day. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the way, and I'll call it out. Facebook, TikTok, you know, some of those are. So I think this and it sounds like a bunch of adults trying to solve a teenage problem.
Of course,
failing miserably. Yes. And so, you know, yeah. could we all just go back and remember what you did as a mm-hmm. teenager? You know, yes. I'm not asking for anybody to confess to anything, because I'm not going to. But you know. That's sort of the nature of that period of your development.
Yeah.
And so let's figure out a way to do more education.
Yes.
Or create places where kids want to go.
Yeah.
You know, if we're smart enough to do it. I'm not sure we are.
So let me play devil's advocate here. I mean, just for the sake of argument. Social media is, I think we're all agreeing, pretty terrible. And I think that's something that mm-hmm. as a society worldwide, we're more and more realizing that as much as we crave connection, as much as it's to some extent not the fault of the platforms, but it is also the fault of the platforms, it's not a good thing. And especially not for teenagers and for kids, right? Where they're easier influenced and changed by those platforms and by the incentives they use. So should we ban, like the technology and how to do it aside, should we restrict that? And if so, why? I think yes, that we have to find a way. It's just, this is not the way. We have to find a way, and maybe it is by really, and I mean really, making the platforms responsible for the things they're doing. Because so far, we've not done that. Ben, you want to say something?
Yeah, here's going to be the ironic thing in the platform. Do you know what platform has been age-gated?
I don't know.
Facebook. Do you want to know how long it took the teenagers and preteens to get around that age gate?
-5 seconds.
Yeah, basically. I mean, this is people who have no concept of social media.
Yes.
Trying to manage that what they don't understand.
True.
Because, I mean, like I said, this is not going to work. The only thing that is going to work is Mr. or Mrs. Smith standing right over Jenna's computer and seeing what she's doing.
Even that is not going to work.
Yeah, that's not going to work. It can't be there 24/7.
No, I mean, we know that. Like, I mean, just think back, like, when you were a kid and the stuff, or a teenager and the stuff you did on the computer, and like your parents cannot be with you 24/7. I think Chuck, you said it. The right approach is probably education, right? And that goes for adults as well. I mean, this teenager like ban does not solve the bigger picture problem. Because the problem is for the entire society, not just for teenagers. It's just, okay, teenagers are maybe the thing we should protect the most. It's a problem for everybody. Just like take public transport or just go anywhere, go out the door and have a look like how many people in any situation are on social media. It's a lot.
Patricio, you know, you said something that ordinarily, I would agree with this, but I'm not sure that it's enforceable, and that is to make the platforms responsible. Yeah. I mean, okay, so the tobacco industry, you know, was forced to put warnings on the cigarettes, and it was more the social pressure that has reduced smoking, but certainly not killed it, and nope. It still bumps up at times.
Yeah.
And sort of the same thing with some alcohol in some areas, that there are warnings on it. And does it really affect anything? You know, I think we've all kind of become numb to this. It's like it's a great thing to say, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to protect them. And this is from legislatures right on down. But at the end of the day, it's all window dressing and it's not effective.
Exactly. I mean, it's actually a good example. Like the banning teenagers from social media is like putting those warning labels on cigarettes. It doesn't really make any difference. It also, the platforms are still not responsible for what they're doing. They're literally like, okay, we slapped this on it and we're golden. We can do whatever we want. Right? It's the same thing.
I think it's a little different because putting warning labels on things versus preventing access is different.
Yes, fair.
You know, I had those warning labels for years on my pack of Salems and all it did was nothing. Smoking.
Yeah.
But if somebody said, we're not selling you cigarettes anymore.
Yeah, which is usually what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least in Europe, it is restricted. Like under 16, you cannot buy cigarettes. Does it stop 14-year-olds from smoking? No, it doesn't.
No,
it just makes it a little bit harder. No, I think the responsibility would be like if the tobacco industry, let's just stick with that, had to pay for all the medical bills of everybody who got sick or died. I mean, how quickly would they be out of business? Pretty quickly, because then your whole business model doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, to Chuck's point, I can't see a platform. Unless they are going to view everything that goes through it and make a judgment as to whether or not this is appropriate or age appropriate, being able to do that kind of management of content.
No.
Or then you get into an age verification system, which, you know, is a little bit too much draconian for me.
Yeah.
And probably easy ways to get around that.
Yes. Also ineffective.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're not gonna solve that problem today, but I think it's something that we have as a society have to figure out how to do. And I think this is not it. I mean, this is a personal opinion. This is political theater, nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought of another thing though, and this might point the way a little bit, but when skateboarding became really hot, mm-hmm. And you know, there were signs up everywhere, no skateboarding.
True.
Some folks popped in and said, hey, you know, let's create a space for the kids to do this that is, you know, that is built for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you saw the skate parks pop up, and guess what? They got used. You know, now, of course, as adults, we all had to come in and say, okay, now you got to wear helmets, and you got to wear this, and you got to wear that. All right, fine. But, you know, at least we gave them some kind of alternative that was a little bit more protecting them. I don't know. That feels like there's a parallel here that might inform something, but I'm not smart enough to know exactly what it is.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on, and that brings us to the cool things that we always find in the drop. So I see here we have some really cool drops this week. Starting with Marty, the slow professor.
Muted, Marty.
This is a book that came out about 10 years ago. And it is kind of challenging how academia has kind of corporatized universities in terms of productivity and adopted corporate values such as efficiency, productivity, competition, and measurable outcomes. And it places a lot of demand on faculty. And this was kind of step back, have a Zen moment, look at what your life is, and make some decisions about how this fits in. I'm teaching a course this fall to new doctoral students around mm-hmm. college teaching, and this might be a book that I'm going to ask them to look at. It's a short book, but it creates a positioning to kind of say it's slow, but it, you know, be slow but not lazy. Basically, be thoughtful and be reflective in terms of the work that you're doing, and be sure that your time is part of your academic resource that you have. Make sure that your teaching's enjoyable. Do research that requires some deep understanding. Just don't do research for research's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this kind of fits into a nice short book for those, I would say, that are interested in academia, but also those that are in the business world. This becomes another kind of look at when you corporatize something too much within a business setting, what happens to employees in the work that they do and the culture that's created. So, yeah, it's called The Slow Professor, and available in all sorts of platforms now. You can get it in Kindle, you can get it in paper, you can get an audiobook of it. And yeah, it's by Maggie Berg and Barbara K. Sieber.
Very cool. I would have not expected speed in academy.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Chuck, you have a cool cable for us this week.
Yeah, we talked last night on Dave's show about the FireWire versus USB, and mm-hmm. FireWire. Where am I? I'm 100 years back.
FireWire with
Thunderbolt. Sorry.
Oh, FireWire with USB. Okay.
Yeah, you know, paying for Thunderbolt when, you know, do you really, really need it?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a cable by Ugreen. It's 240 watt USB-C to USB-C, 80 gigabits per second transfer speed. It's USB-4, though. It is not Thunderbolt, or at least not branded that way, put it that way. So, and this particular one is on Amazon Prime right now for about $18, which is pretty darn good for a cable with those specs. So, and I've ordered several. I already had one of these, and that discussion caused me to go and look at it. It's like, oh yeah, that's a pretty good price. I'm going to get more. I am going to label these very clearly so that I know that they're USB 4, but with what capacities they have, capabilities they have. But yeah, it's a fair question that if you have something that, especially if you're looking at Thunderbolt 5 and some of the capabilities it has, great. But for right now, I guarantee you there are a lot of things around that don't necessarily need that, but that would benefit from what this particular cable offers. So there you go. Enjoy.
Yeah. And then when you
go
get
forth
it,
and purchase.
Go forth and purchase. When you get it, label it, because that's the big problem with all the USB-C devices. It's very hard to know which is which and what cable can do what and all of that.
Yeah.
Ben, you are literally wearing your drop for this week.
Oh, yes, I did. I lied. There is one other section of Apple products that did not get a price increase. In fact, right now, they have some pretty hefty discounts. Mm-hmm. And those are the Beats and AirPods lines. I'm currently wearing the Solo 4 headphones. You get these right now, you can get these half price at $99. The Studio Pros are on sale for $149. The AirPods Max 2 have a pretty big discount. Same with all the in-ears. So if you need to buy a Mac, it is a terrible time. If you need to buy some Apple-owned headphones, it is an amazing time.
Let me guess, less RAM in them, that's why. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I'm Beats products are always, I've been a big fan of them, even though right now I have one Beats Studio pair that's behind me, but mostly I'm on the Apple side. Good. My drop for this week is something that I bought the other week for a very specific purpose. So it is the Miros Smart Wi-Fi Indoor-Outdoor Plug. It's a dual plug. I think the link that I put in is for the EU version, but there's also the same thing available in the US with a US plug. And it's a Matter compatible outdoor outlet, right? So you plug it into an existing outlet and you have two, and they're measuring the amount of power they're using, and they're individually controllable over Matter. So whether that's Google or Apple Home or whatever you're using, or the Miros app directly, they use Wi-Fi. It's set with Matter. It's built a Thread network, or it connects to a Thread network. So what I'm using it for is I have for my balcony. I have like a little garden out there with some vegetables and whatever, and I connected a pump to that, and using Home Assistant, I automated that so that at certain times it simply turns that outlet on. The pump starts, sprays everything and gives water to the plants, and then shuts it off after I think 30 seconds or something. It's not that long because it is quite powerful. But yeah, it's really good, and Miros has just good products usually. I've used them over the years. On and off. So yeah, it's a good little device if you need something like that. The cable's not terribly long, but it's long enough for what I needed. And yeah, with that, we are at the end of the show. I saw that Dave joined us, but only half joined us during the stream. I guess he's listening in.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, so listening to us live on air, basically.
I was listening. Yeah, sorry I couldn't make it.
Yeah, no worries. Like sometimes stuff happens. Yeah, thanks everybody for joining us. I want to mention before we talk about where they can find you individually, I want to mention where the Tech Hangout can be like connected to. We do have social media since we talked about it today. It's not banned yet. So we have Blue Sky. We're more on the independent social media though. We have Blue Sky at thetechhangout.com. We have Mastodon at thetechhangout at techhangout.social. There's a name there. We are on Twitch if you want, or on YouTube. We're streaming live this show every, well, what is it? Friday, 5 p.m. Central European time, 11 a.m. Eastern time. And whatever that is in your time zone, you will have to figure out. Yeah, and you can also, of course, send us an email. info at thetechhangout.com is the email address. And with that, I'm going to go around. I think I ended with Ben, so I'm going to start with Ben. Ben, thanks you so much for being here, and tell the good people where they can like reach out to you and find out more about you.
Well, you can find me on social media at Ben Rathig. You can find me, my writings and ravings, at RathigTech.com. And you can find me most every Friday, hopefully for a long time to come, here on the Tech Hangout, both as a panel and as in the rotation of hosts.
That's true. Marty, how about you? Like, you have a lot of interesting content that you produce every week.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get some content out, coming up with MacStock in the next week. I'm trying to get some fresh shows out for folks, so I'm going to keep it simple. If you want to know what projects I'm doing, what podcasts I'm doing, probably the big one is Vision Profiles, but then there are other ones like the Neo Notebook, and then other kind of fun podcasts, shall we call them Artesian podcasts, in different kinds of topics. Look at thepodtalk.net. Thepodtalk.net is the website. You can gratefully part of Chuck's Mac Voices show on Tuesday evenings, and Dave's In Touch with iOS on Thursday evenings. And just this is a wonderful start of the weekend to come to the Tech Hangout and be part of it. So you'll find me here at Jencius, J-E-N-C-I-U-S, is my socials.
Very cool. Thank you, Marty. And Mr. Redshirt, but you're not going to get killed. You're going to be in charge. Chuck, thanks for being here. And where can people find out more about you?
Thanks, Patrice. It's a relief to know I'm not going to get killed again.
You wore the shirt.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Find everything I do at MacVoices.com. That's where I just finished the last of the NAB interviews. Oh. We are deep on the road to MacStock because the time is getting short.
Yep.
And of course, the other content that we produce there as well. So check it all out at MacVoices.com. The live show is Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV, and on most of the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Patrice.
Very cool. Thank you, Chuck. You can find me every week here on this show. You can find out more about me, all the social media links, podcasts, projects, the page with all the cool things. I always post them on my website as well. There's a whole list since 2019. And all of that is on thepatrice.com. That will redirect you to my domain, because nobody can spell my last name. And with Jeff, who's not here today, I'm on Retro Rewatch. I always like to show the mug on the stream. So if you're watching, hey, there it is. That's a really cool mug. Retro Rewatch, we rewatch retro TV shows. We're closing in on the end of season 4 of Stargate SG-1, because that's the main thing we're watching right now. But there is some really, really cool things coming up for the 99th and the 100th episode. Some special guests that we had first on Retro Rewatch. So yeah, you can look forward to that. We're not that far away, a couple of weeks. We're closing in on episode 100. Yeah, and with that, thank you so much for listening to this very interesting Check Hangout, and let's get out of here. Bye-bye.
Yes.